640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Israeli troops are forging a path deeper into Gaza. BBC's Yolan Nell reports from Jerusalem.
Heavy bombing by Israeli warplanes could again be seen in the north of the Gaza Strip this morning, sending up plumes of grey smoke. An Israeli military spokesman said there had also been strikes elsewhere and described ground troops as slowly expanding their operation. Meanwhile, Hamas fighters said they'd ambushed three Israeli vehicles firing anti-tank missiles.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has rejected the latest calls for a ceasefire as the humanitarian crisis in Gaza deepens. World Health Organization's Richard Brennan.
The situation is essentially catastrophic. Now, over a third of hospitals are non-functioning, and those that are functioning are only working partially, and they are overwhelmed with a heavy patient load.
UNICEF is warning the risk of infant deaths from dehydration is growing, with just 5% of normal water supplies available. We're learning of red flag warnings ahead of last week's mass shooting in Maine involving gunman Robert Card. Rick LaChapelle, owner of a gun shop, says he turned him down when he tried to buy a silencer after Card answered yes when asked if he'd ever committed to a mental health facility.
We just can't imagine how much more carnage would have been if he had a silencer on the front of that.
Records show the Army Reserve and a Maine Sheriff's Department were aware of Card's mental health issues more than 5 months before he shot 18 people to death. Police in Colorado's Rocky Mountains say a man found dead at an amusement park with guns and bombs near his remains died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound in a bathroom. Word scrawled on the mirror read, "I am not a killer." They believe he broke in while Glenwood Caverns was closed. The Supreme Court will hear arguments today on social media cases from California and Michigan. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
These two cases might send a message to public officials to stay off of social media, because if they use their private platforms in any way to address issues of public concern or they post things related to their job, they might violate the First Amendment if they delete the postings of their critics or block them altogether.
King Charles is making his first state visit to a Commonwealth country since becoming monarch. He arrived in Kenya to a 21-gun salute from the country's navy. His trip is full of symbolism. Charles' mom, the late Queen Elizabeth, found out she'd become monarch while she was visiting a Kenyan game preserve in 1952. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers says he isn't sold on a Republican-led bill to address PFAS in Wisconsin. The bill would create a grant program to help communities affected by PFAS chemicals and provide aid, but it would also limit the state's Department of Natural Resources' ability to hold those polluters accountable. Evers didn't commit to either sign or veto the bill in an interview with Wisconsin Eye on Monday. Governor Evers and Republicans who control the state legislature remain far apart on boosting Wisconsin's economy and dealing with the state's child care crisis. Republicans are proposing wide-ranging tax cuts and child care deregulation. The Democratic governor says he'd veto those bills.
That is not going to impact inflation. If we're worried about inflation, let's do a middle-class tax cut, and that's it.
Evers appeared on the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Brewers' Craig Counsell in talks with other teams. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Craig Counsell, the Brewers' manager the last 9 years, interviewed with the Cleveland Guardians. He's expected to meet with the New York Mets. He and his wife, Michelle, actually are interested in living in New York. And if he gets an offer, he'd like to raise the bar on what all managers make in the major leagues. That's all according to the New York Post. The story says the Brewers may already be lining up candidates to replace Counsell. Game 3 of the World Series last night, the Rangers beat the Diamondbacks in Arizona 3-1, but Max Scherzer and a Gonzalez Garcia each left the game with injuries. Game 4 is tonight in Phoenix. The Rangers lead 2-1. NBA, the Bucks beat the Miami Heat 122-114. Head coach Adrian Griffin says it was great to see his team back in sync after losing to the Hawks Sunday.
It was beautiful to watch when we were sharing the ball. Our spacing was great. Trusting the pass, I thought that was the most important thing, but we got organized on both sides of the ball.
That's the Bucks' Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Snow likely becoming mixed precipitation today, otherwise cloudy. High of 35, west winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. 20 tonight, mainly clear. 1 to 2 inches of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 27 degrees.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM for the Devil's Advocates.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Hey, happy Halloween. It's Tuesday, October 31st. We get the mixture of somewhat feeling like Halloween because it's cold, but we get the little preview of Christmas as well with snow falling across parts of Wisconsin. So wherever you are up there, please be extra careful on the roads. And it's not just you. It's not just you that you have to drive carefully for, but there's always going to be somebody that has forgotten how to drive in the wintertime. And those are the folks that you need to be on the lookout for as well. Greg Bach joins us from Waukesha, where again, no snow yet, but you know, it's never far away at this time of year. You know, you just wouldn't be surprised at any point to see it.
Just give it time. Just wait a minute. It's
oh yeah.
By the end of the show, an inch can fall.
But here's our biggest public service announcement of the day. The last thing I said before Sherry left this morning, I said, "You have a snow brush in there yet?" She's like, "Oh no." So of course, into the box in the garage, grab the snow brush. So she's a step ahead of some poor fool out there who's going to be using, you know, a credit card or the arm of their jacket or whatever. So if you don't have the snow brush and the scraper loaded today's the do it.
I never take it out of the car.
Don't you ever?
Nope.
Don't you like in the hottest summer day going, "What is this?" And then you toss it aside and
it just
hate
fits
yourself later.
No, it just fits in the hatchback. It's right there. I don't see it. It's just you never.
You do not want to be without that.
Coming I don't up want this to tempt. Hour,
we will talk to our friend Hans Breitenmoser along with Darren Von Ruden from Wisconsin Farmers Union. And we will talk about Derek Van Orden and whether the congressman is being helpful or a hindrance when it comes to getting a new quality farm bill for Wisconsin farmers, producers, consumers, and more. And we'll visit with Chad Holmes from his radio show that airs right after this one on Bull Falls Radio up in Wausau. And then all across the Civic Media Radio Network, we'll have various shows at 8 o'clock. Earl Ingram, by and large, but other shows throughout the day. And if you want to know more about those shows, it's very easy. Just go to civicmedia.us, and you can find a map of stations around Wisconsin. You can get a listing of stations, and you can get a listing of the many shows that you can hear, either on air, online, or on demand as a podcast. And by the way, for all the talk that we do about the talk shows on Civic Media stations, there are also plenty of music stations in hometowns around Wisconsin as well. So go to civicmedia.us, get familiar with the stations, especially if you're one of those folks who does a lot of road trips around Wisconsin, and find yourself a new favorite. A reminder that Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. We're part of Courier Newsroom, but very happy to be here on the Civic Media Radio Network from 6 to 8, Monday through Friday mornings. But back to Courier Newsroom for just a moment. You hear us talk to Kia Vakil on Fridays. He's our national political correspondent for Courier Newsroom, which now I think we're up to 10 state-based newsrooms around the country, including Up North News, with more to come. But Courier Newsroom also has a series of newsletters. For example, Kia has one called Frontlines that runs, let's see if I can find my notes on the newsrooms. Basically, he's our national political correspondent. So what do you think it's going to be about? It's a biweekly newsletter. It gets you up to speed on local political stories as well from key states, including all the states where Courier Newsroom has newsrooms, including Up North News in Wisconsin, the Gander in Michigan. We've got Iowa Starting Line, the Keystone in Pennsylvania, Dogwood in Virginia. In North Carolina, the Cardinal and Pine, Floriqua in Florida, the Copper Courier in Arizona, and our newest outlet, the Nevadan, coincidentally in Nevada, and then a couple more yet to come. So Kia has the Frontlines newsletter that's all about that. Then there's Mark Jacob, who we talk to every Friday morning at 7:30 about the way that the national media outlets are covering national stories. And Mark has now put together a weekly newsletter called Stop the Presses about how right-wing extremism has exploited the weaknesses in American journalism and what we can do about it. There's also This Week in State House Action with our friend Carolyn Fiddler, who gives a weekly update on all the latest news from state capitals across the country. So check your inbox every Friday for a rundown on what is moving through state legislatures. Plenty of mentions in Wisconsin in Carolyn's newsletter. And then finally, there's FWIW, which stands for What It's Worth. For What It's Worth is a weekly newsletter that breaks down digital spending, strategy, tactics, and trends in our elections. These are the folks that go through all the minutiae of filings and other campaign reports to let you know who is where. It's one thing to have, what if you have the best TV political ad campaign out there, but you're not running any ads on social media? Well, then you're going to lose out to some people who are a bit more savvy in running their ads on TikTok or Facebook or whatever the case may be. And each week, the For What It's Worth newsletter highlights whose spending is up, whose is non-existent, and how campaigns, political action committees, and advocacy groups are leveraging online platforms to affect social and political change. And all of these come through Substack. So you can either go to Substack or you can go to couriernewsroom.com, scroll down a bit, and you'll see a note about all of the newsletters that are put together by Courier Newsroom. I'd like to put together a daily newsletter, Greg, but again, until they come up with that 25th hour in a day.
Oh, yeah. I would use that for newsletters or sleep.
I would. Well, I wrote the Up North News newsletter for the first 2.5, 3 years that we were doing this. And then when the radio show came along, yeah. Thankfully, so did Christina Laurie. And so I turned most of that over to her, except for, you know, I'm in there like 3-4 days a week with a political story. So I do miss doing a daily newsletter. And I can't tell you how many times I've said, okay, this show deserves a daily newsletter. I'm just going to open up this blank screen, you know, right next to the screen where I'm talking to you. And I'll just fill that in. And, you know, at some point during the day, I'll hit send. I'll have this great little newsletter. And yet, it's like the moment this show ends, like so many other things in your workplaces, as you listen out there, as soon as you finish the one thing that you have to do and you have to block everything out, but as soon as it's done at 8:01, it's like the to-do list comes crushing. I feel like I'm in that Titanic submersible that suddenly the weight of the ocean has hit and there's no time to put together a daily newsletter. But it's still a goal. It's aspirational.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good to have hopes and dreams.
I agree, Pat.
Yep. So someday. But in the meantime, there are all these nice Courier Newsroom newsletters that you can sign up for as well. I want to say one quick note about sports. And again, we get sports at the top and bottom of every hour here. But just in case you missed it, the Bucks won at home against Miami, 122-114. They play at Toronto tomorrow. And then their next home game is Friday against the Knicks. The Badger women's volleyball team, they're in action tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, at home against Purdue. That'll be on the Big Ten Network. The World Series, Texas now leads that series 2-1 after beating Arizona last night in Arizona by a final score of 3-1. And arguably one of the more surprising sports stories of the day is that Brewers manager Craig Counsell has now met with the Cleveland Guardians as well as the New York Mets about their managerial openings. The 53-year-old Counsell spent most of the day at Progressive Field for an interview with the Guardians, who spoke on the condition of anonymity to the Associated Press because the team had not made public that it was searching for a new manager. Counsell's contract with the Brewers expires this week. The Brewers were always expecting him to look elsewhere while hoping they can re-sign him. The Mets have far more money to offer him than, you know, either the small market Brewers or the Guardians. And Brewers principal owner Mark Adonasio has said on multiple occasions that he wants Counsell back in 2024. Clearly at probably about double the $3.5 million that he's making right now. But will he interview elsewhere as well? I don't know all of the various managerial openings or the ones that are about to open up maybe after the World Series is all done. So I don't know if you have feelings at all on whether Craig Counsell should stay or go, but 844-967-2789 is our number here if you'd like to comment on that or anything else that's on the news. All right, we've got ourselves some weather, and Jennifer Vucicki from Weatherology is on the line with us now to kind of guide us through, hold our hand and say, look, we've seen this before. It's snow. Just be careful. Let's find out where it's falling and what the day's forecast looks like for us now. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, well, it's an interesting start to Halloween for some of us, and it looks like still a chance for some snow across the board for everyone today, mostly during the morning hours from Oshkosh northward with skies becoming sunny there. Then throughout the daytime hours for southern Wisconsin, looks like about 1 to 3 inches of total accumulating snowfall potential for Waukesha up to Oshkosh and through central Wisconsin. So definitely something to keep in mind here throughout the day today. Highs pretty similar to yesterday, mid to upper 30s. For tomorrow, looks like sunny skies closer to Lake Michigan. Otherwise, partial sunshine develops for everyone else. Still mid-30s to around about 40 degrees for your Wednesday. Thursday, sunshine for most, a little more cloud cover closer to Lake Michigan. Mid to upper 40s for southern Wisconsin, upper 30s to low 40s for everyone else. To round out the work week, cloudy skies for all on Friday. A few spotty rain chances in the afternoon for central and west central Wisconsin. Low 50s for southern Wisconsin, mid-40s for everyone else once again. Then to start off the weekend, Saturday, cloudy for all. Chance for rain for Madison, Waukesha, and over towards Milwaukee. Similar temperatures to Friday. Upper 40s to low 50s for southern Wisconsin, mid to low 40s once again for everyone else.
Jennifer, pop quiz for you, because I was just asking Greg here about this. Is your snow brush in your car already for the season?
It is actually, yes. I don't think I've ever taken it out yet.
Oh, Greg, see? There you go. There's two of you. Some of us kind of forget and take it out in the summertime. Jennifer, thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too.
Always nice to talk to Jennifer every day about this time to get that weather forecast. And in this case, a dose of affirmation for one Greg Bach. So, you know, good on you for being essentially a vehicular pack rat is what it is.
Oh, that's not, yeah. I didn't say I had every snow remover. I didn't have, I have one.
It works.
Okay, Pat.
It's okay. All right. Let's talk artificial intelligence for a moment. Insert your own punchline for what that means for this radio show. But, you know, AI is, it's all the rage in terms of a topic. And Greg, just to set up my personal bias on the show, I've mentioned a couple times, my only exposure to AI, to that ChatGPT, and then there's Bing from Microsoft, and there's another. Here's my only exposure to it. It takes too long. It takes a long time, believe it or not, to come up with the daily history thing. You got to look up, you know, this day in history. You got to look up the music stuff. Is there any TV history and, you know, et cetera. It takes a while.
Yeah.
And I thought, wouldn't it be great if I could go into one of these chatbots and say, you know, give me a summary of historical events, birthdays, musical milestones, and, you know, see what they do. I've never got.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Yeah, it's cliche, but come on.
I don't mind.
No, not at all. Look at this. Kristen Lyerly commenting on Facebook. Snow scraper replaced in my car, ready to roll. Thanks for the reminder. See? Some of us need to be reminded.
That's fine. And we're here to remind you that...
I appreciate your good counsel. I really do.
You'll get a bill in the mail.
Yeah. Here's a little note behind the scenes. We changed the clock on when we go to commercials. This is Greg's second day as a board operator for me. He says to me yesterday, you know, how do you want time cues? And, you know, Mr. All full of himself over here says, I don't need time cues. I know the clock. And if you were listening, you know, 90 seconds ago, as I talked my way right into the commercial break, you can be clear, I did not have the new clock memorized properly. So... I'm going to try to pick up where I left off, wherever the hell that was. It was about artificial intelligence. And I was just saying that my exposure to it has not been good so far, but it's growing. There's only going to be more of it. In radio, we actually kind of had a version of it for decades. It's called automation, you know, where you would pre-record your voice tracks and it would be, here's Michael Jackson and Thriller. And I'd be down at, you know, the bar having, you know, a Lainey's Light or something like that. But artificial intelligence is going to be more and more a part of workplaces, a part of pretty much everybody's workplaces, just like computers. Computers weren't, you know, ubiquitous until they were. Doesn't mean they replace everything, but there's going to be something about it in our lives. And so it's important to try to not let the technology get ahead of things like how you do your work and the law, to make sure that if there are problems with artificial intelligence, that you have legal recourse in some areas. So you've got both President Biden and Governor Tony Evers working on ways to try to get and stay ahead of the curve. President Biden on Monday signed an ambitious executive order that seeks to balance the needs of cutting-edge technology companies with national security and consumer rights, and create an early set of guardrails that could be fortified by legislation and by global agreements. Before signing the order, Biden said that AI is driving change at, quote, warp speed and carries tremendous potential as well as perils. AI is all around us, Biden said. To realize the promise of AI and avoid the risk, we need to govern this technology. The order will likely need to be augmented by congressional action to steer how it's developed so that companies can profit without putting public safety in jeopardy. Using the Defense Production Act, the order requires leading AI developers to share safety test results and other information with the government. The Commerce Department is going to issue guidance to label and watermark AI-generated content so that you can differentiate between authentic interactions and those that are generated by software. Because isn't it the worst when you see there's a little chat window when you go to some company's website and you think, oh, good, I can chat with a person at this company and tell them my issue. And then you come to realize, nope, it's AI, it's a robot, and it too is doing a terrible job of guessing what my problem is. So there's much more to say about what President Biden is doing. But let me switch over to the statewide level, because tomorrow will be, I believe, the first meeting of the governor's task force on workforce and artificial intelligence. And again, the whole point is to gather and analyze information and produce an advisory action plan that can identify the current state of AI on the labor market and develop informed predictions about its implications for the near term and the future. How will it affect occupations, key industries, you know, skill sets? How will it help advance economic opportunity? These are all the things in terms of homework that can only be helpful if you try to anticipate the problems of AI as well as the opportunities. And it's going to cut both ways. We're going to see problems come up with AI. We're going to see problems come up with jobs being replaced. Recall that yesterday I talked to Missy Hughes from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, and we talked about the ways that technology has been replacing jobs in Wisconsin and across the country. Think after NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, and so many people lost their jobs to outsourcing, and was enough done to provide the training that displaced workers needed to be able to work in new areas? And many people arguably would say no, that that wasn't the case. So you've got to get all of the various partners together, from education to business to the technology sector to workforce training, and say, look, this is how AI may look down the road, and these are the things that need to be done about it. That is one way to help assist a workforce that is already plagued by shortages. And then there's another way to do it. And that's my whole point of bringing this up, is there are some folks that have figured out how to look forward in dealing with workforce issues and the labor shortage. And then there's people in Wisconsin and Florida. In this case, I'll read off of a Florida news story about a Republican bill there. House Bill 49 would roll back crucial child labor protections. This includes enabling employers to schedule 16 and 17-year-olds to work more than 30 hours a week when school is in session. This is basically how the Florida legislature plans to deal with labor shortages caused by their hostility toward immigration. Is that instead of welcoming more immigrants, especially those who have training and education, but overall for the low-skilled jobs out there as well, it's you can either welcome more immigrants or you can tell our kids to work more than 30 hours a week while school is in session. And the Republican answer has been, get those kids to work. The same thing is happening in Wisconsin as well, with proposals to, again, lift or weaken limits on hours that are worked or conditions that are being worked in. And it defies explanation, it seems, as to why you would want to go in the direction of child labor rather than in the direction of how can we get current workers trained for jobs that would pay them better and that are so in demand. Or stop being so hostile about immigration. We are in a place right now, demographically, this country needs legal and reformed immigration more than ever. And yet we still have, and have had since 1986, a Republican Party that does not want to be a willing partner and that essentially ignores the reality of retiring baby boomers and says, no, the answer here is to, you know, get kids into the workforce more often. And when they do talk about education, they're always talking about education that is geared toward the workforce, not the humanities, not learning how to learn, how to be a critical thinker, a constructive thinker, to be the leaders of the future, but essentially to be drones. And if we don't figure this out, this is going to be bad, not just in AI-related fields, but in all kinds of manufacturing efforts and in farming. And we've talked to Hans Breitenmoser about that in the past. We're going to talk to Hans, and we're going to talk to Darren Von Ruden from the Wisconsin Farmers Union as well on the other side of this break. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
Your neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found.
The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Israeli ground troops are moving deeper into Gaza. The IDF reports progress against Hamas. CBS's Remy Innocencio from Tel Aviv.
The Israel Defense Forces say they have now killed the commander of Hamas's northern brigade, dropping a bomb on his location. Israel says that he directed massacres at two settlements directed at Israelis on October 7th.
A gun shop owner in Maine may have prevented additional deaths in last week's mass shooting that killed 18 people. Rick LaChapelle says he denied the gunman's request to purchase a silencer.
If he's mentally defective or had been committed to an institution, he answered yes to that question.
Police in Colorado say a man who'd brought guns and bombs to a Rocky Mountain amusement park died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Garfield County Sheriff Lou Valerio.
This wasn't an ordinary potential suicide. He was very highly prepared, very highly weaponized.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers called on the state Supreme Court to throw out Wisconsin's current legislative maps in a legal brief filed Monday. The state Supreme Court announced Friday that it would take up the case challenging Wisconsin's maps. Evers joined State Attorney General Josh Call in writing a brief supporting redrawing the maps. Evers added he wants the case to move swiftly and that not one election should take place under the current gerrymandered maps. The Supreme Court will hear oral argument on the case next month. Four different hunting seasons in Wisconsin start next month. Gun deer season is the busiest. It starts November 18th. There are also hunting seasons for beaver, mink, muskrat, and otters. The Department of Natural Resources is reminding hunters about safety and to make sure they have the proper permits. The DNR is telling non-hunters to be aware that a lot of people will be in and out of the woods in the coming weeks. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Snow likely becoming mixed precipitation today, otherwise cloudy. High of 35, west winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. 20 tonight, mainly clear. 1 to 2 inches of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you. But it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Thank you.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
I might tell you that my favorite thing about Halloween at this age is it gives me a reason to play the Great Pumpkin Waltz, either from Vince Guaraldi or, in this case, from Chuck Corea. On this Tuesday, October 31st, a snowy Halloween morning across many parts of Wisconsin. But on we go, and the work goes on. The field work goes on, and, you know, Wisconsin's farms as well. And the work goes on to try to get farm legislation that works for Wisconsin farmers. And so we're going to bring in our friend Hans Breitenmoser, a Lincoln County dairy farmer, and Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Gentlemen, good morning. Hans,
morning.
How are things up your way? Do you get snow this morning?
Yes, it is snowing as we speak. There's there's all of an inch on the ground, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, seems to be that way around here too. And yet, I'm sure I didn't look at this week's statistics yet, but I'm sure there's a little field work going on. How about by you?
Oh yeah, very much so. We've got our corn combine, but we still have all of our soybeans out there, and so now they've got they look like frosted flakes out there right now.
and those got to get done. Hans, you and I have talked at length about the need for a farm bill. It's a massive package that affects so much more than farms. It's nutrition assistance. It's about market rules and all of that. And you and I both saw an op-ed recently by Darren Von Ruden from the Wisconsin Farmers Union. But before I turn to Darren, whether it's his op-ed or just what you've seen overall in the news, especially the paralysis in the House of Representatives right now, where's your confidence level on getting a decent farm bill done right now?
Oh boy, I don't know. My confidence level in what can come out of Congress is pretty low. I mean, if they can't decide who should be speaker, then I don't know. I feel like the bar is set pretty low. I worry about those guys being able to get anything done, quite honestly.
Yeah.
They don't even have to work around the weather like Darren and I do. So they don't have any excuse. They should be just being able to get their poop in a group and get things done. But it's just very, very frustrating.
Well, and you would think it would be especially beneficial for Wisconsin this time around, because first term Republican Congressman Derek Van Orden was given a plum assignment on the House Agriculture Committee. But Darren, that's where we bring you in to say that in your recent column, you're just not sure that Congressman Van Orden is doing what's necessary to get this farm bill done. What's your estimation on how things are going right now?
Yeah, I would agree with Hans on it. It doesn't look very promising to get something done. There's most likely going to be an extension that will come on the 11th hour of the last day at the end of the year here, because if an extension is not done, there's parts of the farm bill that would go back to 1937, 1938 law, which would, especially with the dairy industry, would put us at a pay scale of receiving parity, which would more than triple the price that farmers are receiving for their milk right now, which then of course would affect what consumers are paying. So, what we're seeing right now is most likely an extension. It's very unlikely with all the turmoil and all the other issues with the federal budget and trying to keep the government open, that'll have to take place over the next month and a half here.
Can I ask you about that again, this whole notion of, because the Farm Bill is a large package of legislation that's basically rewritten about every 5 years or so, that if they didn't get it done and if they didn't do an extension, that things would actually revert to like 1937 era law. Tell me again, how would that work?
Well, because of how that law was set up, there was the idea that they would reexamine it every 5 years on a 5-year basis and make corrections or make additions to it. And so any time that the Farm Bill is not revisited and corrected and made mistakes and then passed by the House, the Senate, and ultimately signed by the President, if that process does not happen, it reverts back to that law. And that law had a parity language in there. So,
and what does that mean by parity language?
So bringing up to date what the farmer's pay prices would be, dealing with the economic side or so inflation rate, we would be seeing, you know, a 3% gain in our pay price or the floor price that farmers could receive on an annual basis. So, you know, you look at what farmers are paid back in 1937, what consumer was paid in 1937, you know, just looking at how the dollar is improved or in some people's minds, maybe not improved, but is still there. So, you know, it's a lot more today than what it was in 1937. And as dairy states, you know, the price that we'd be getting today at parity is between $54 and $58 a hundredweight, where farmers today are actually only receiving about $14.50 to $16 a hundredweight at the current price.
And for folks who aren't familiar with that, a hundredweight is 100 pounds of milk?
Correct.
And yes, so for every 100 pounds of milk that a farmer produces, they're currently getting, what, $14 to $15?
Somewhere in that range, yes.
Which is borderline criminal. But if they, but if a farm bill doesn't pass, you go back to standards that would more than triple that price. And Hans, I dare say, as a dairy farmer, I mean, how would you feel about suddenly getting triple the price? Never mind what it does to the consumer at the grocery store, although you have friends and neighbors who would be consumers at the grocery store.
Yeah, I don't know if they'd be my friends and neighbors anymore. They might be upset with me. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we need better farm gate prices, no doubt about it. But we can't have something that happens and turns everything upside down for consumers and processors and everything just because a handful of people in Congress can't get it together. So that's ultimately it always comes back to good public policy, how we get there, and what that looks like, and what we've seen in Congress is just, there's simply no excuse for it. This is what these guys get paid for. They should be able to get the basics done, and they're not even able to do that. That's what's frustrating for those of us who are, you know, yeah, out there every day doing what we need to do, because that's how we get paid.
That's right. And so, Darren, your op-ed happened to note that this farm bill, you know, it could go in different directions. It could go in policy directions that help benefit, you know, family farms in Wisconsin and elsewhere, or it could be much more corporate farm friendly. What's your concern about, you know, where the farm bill could go and the role that Congressman Van Orden has played so far, at least?
Yeah, currently we're seeing a lot of just status quo discussions around the farm bill and keeping the current system in place, which has not been beneficial to the majority of agricultural producers around the state and around the country. You know, looking at the dairy industry, we're still losing over one dairy farm a day here in the state of Wisconsin alone. That doesn't include all the other farmers that are being lost around the rest of the nation. And looking at the subsidies program, you know, we're continuing to take more and more dollars that are coming as direct payments from the federal government versus getting those dollars from the consumer. So we'd like to see something where, you know, the farmer and consumer have a little bit more direct contact. You know, the farm bill right now is only putting about 14 cents of every consumer dollar back in the farmer's pocket, where 30 years ago in the 80s, we were getting between 40 and 45 cents of every consumer dollar. So, you know, there's more dollars that are going to the middleman and which is the processors and the retailers and the distributors. Meanwhile, the farmers are getting less, but the consumer continues to pay more. So, you know, if the farm bill was actually working correctly, there'd be a little bit more commonality between the consumer and the farmer. And so then when farmers' prices drop, so would consumer prices. But it seems like every time that the farm price goes up a little bit, the consumer price goes up. But then when the farm price drops, the consumer price stays where it's at.
What is it that Congressman Van Orden could be doing, should be doing, hasn't been doing that, you know, that you wrote about?
Yeah, well, we'd certainly like to see him working a little bit harder on trying to get some kind of a competition title in the Farm Bill. And then also looking at the dairy revitalization plan that has been worked on by many farmers here in the state of Wisconsin and across the country, and trying to stabilize the pay prices that our farmers are receiving. Meanwhile, helping the processors out to make sure that they're receiving a fair dollar, but then also keeping the dairy prices reasonable for the consumer in the marketplace.
And as I mentioned earlier, I'm not saying that this will necessarily be folded into it, but you know, immigration is an issue, and there has been attempts to try to reform the way that, especially specific to dairy, that migrant labor is handled and reformed so that fewer people on Wisconsin farms are operating in the shadows. Is that something you'd like to see addressed at the same time, or you know, at least concurrently, or shortly thereafter?
Yes, you know, we certainly need to do something with that. You know, currently in Wisconsin, about 60% of all milk that is produced in the state is being produced by immigrant labor. And as the style of farming continues to change, that becomes a bigger issue for us, and we need to make sure that it's addressed. And, you know, there's models around the world that other countries use to bring in immigrants legally into their country. And you know, we need to certainly take a look at that and make sure that we have possibilities. And, you know, a lot of the immigrants that are coming into the country now are coming for two reasons. The disparity that they're facing in their home countries, but then also the lack of food that they have in their countries. And so as a country that has a good supply of high quality food for our own people, you know, we need to make sure that we're helping out to feed other nations, but also helping with some of the critical issues that their families face.
And Hans, let me shift gears quickly with you here, because you've also been a very fierce advocate for fairer maps. And recently you attended a legislative hearing when Republicans appeared to have a come to Jesus moment. It seemed like they were suddenly embracing nonpartisan redistricting because the state Supreme Court might actually throw out these current gerrymandered maps. Did you get any sense that Republicans were sincere about how they want to change their ways of drawing maps?
You know, I wish I could say I felt that way, but I sincerely don't feel that they're being sincere. And the reason is, you know, this fair maps thing has been going on for, you know, over a decade. We've been so many people in transparent government groups, good government groups, have said we should have a nonpartisan procedure for drawing these lines. And those pleas have fallen on deaf ears all this time. And so to have this political party do an about face and say, yes, now we're all of a sudden in fair maps, but we don't want to have any public hearings, and we want to tweak it so that we still have the last say on what the maps look like, even though they would supposedly be done by a nonpartisan procedure. They haven't gotten it right. And the main thing they could do to give confidence would be to, in fact, have public hearings around the state and involve all the stakeholders. And they're not willing to do that even in the creation of this. So we have a hard time believing they're willing to do that going forward at the next census.
All right. So that's at the legislative level. And let me wrap things up. Coming back to the congressional level, Darren, in the 60 seconds or so that we've got left here, there are, four to five announced Democratic candidates for the third congressional district seat that Derek Van Orden currently occupies. If you wanted to hear anything consistently from those Democratic candidates as challengers, what is it that you want to hear them talking about and promising the district?
Well, certainly being able to work across the aisle and get the job done. You know, we hear quite a bit from both sides that there's a lot of lazy people out there, and that's why we shouldn't have the nutrition title and the Farm Bill. But when you look at it, what's really happening with our elected officials and what's going on in D.C. and Madison, we certainly need to see some more activity there, and then get proposals put on the table and discuss that are really going to be beneficial to the average American. Right now, we're seeing a lot of discussion about just making sure that the the richest companies and the richest people in the world have the benefits, and the working class people are continuing to receive less and less.
All right, Darren Van Ruden, Wisconsin Farmers Union President, Hans Breitenmoser. Great to talk to both of you. Thank you so much for the information. Have a great day.
Thanks, Pat.
All right, when we come back, Chad Holmes will join us to wrap up our Halloween on Up North News Radio.
To terrorize your neighborhood, and whosoever shall be found.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Chad Holmes joins us now from Bull Falls Radio. You can hear his show coming up next up in the Wausau area and through the Civic Media app and website. How are you?
I'm trying to figure out which arm to point at our little logo.
Chad's now got signage at the new studio in Wausau and proving that he's not ready to be a TV weatherman yet as he tries to figure out whether to point this way or that way. But before we laugh, come on, Greg, go ahead and point to the WAUK logo quick, like a TV weatherman. See, over there. Yeah, not as easy as
I got the right arm.
Point to Wisconsin. Yeah. See, that's why today should be National Hug a Meteorologist Day. We've helped them understand more.
Pat, I've tried. They won't let me.
Those darn restraining orders. Chad, we have already commiserated that the football teams you were covering have been eliminated, but you appear to be no less busy. You are still a man on the go with some of the other activity for high school sports.
You know me, I got to find myself a broadcast somewhere. So I search. But the good news is that we cover three schools here. We cover Wausau West, Marathon, and New McCaffick. And for the most part, we don't do a lot of volleyball, but I have over the years when our teams make it to the state tournament, we pick them up, and it's actually a lot of fun. And the Newman Cardinal girls volleyball team has made it to the state tournament, so we'll be heading to Green Bay on Friday morning to have a state semifinal against Prentice. And it's actually kind of funny because one of our other Civic Media radio stations in the Northwoods is covering it for Prentice, so going to have a little bit of a battle coming up on Friday morning, but it should be a lot of fun. I've done volleyball in the past. It's really a lot of energy and really terrific. And in fact, I'm going to be over on Thursday announcing their pep rally to get them on the road to Green Bay for the big matchup on Friday. So it should be a lot of fun.
Well, that's awesome, especially when you can build off the momentum being set by the Badger women, who have been, top ranked and packing tens of thousands of people into stadiums and hundreds of thousands of people viewing. They were just on Fox on a national broadcast, Fox's first ever nationally televised collegiate volleyball match. So volleyball is on the rise here right now. I'm sure you're going to find a busy and spirited pep rally and playoff game.
And spirited is the word, because if people that haven't gone to volleyball, and I think you can see it with the way that the Badgers are drawing, it's not just because they're winning a lot. And that always is a great spark plug to get people to pay attention. But if you go to either a high school match or a college match, I mean, there is an energy that you don't get really in any other sport. I mean, they're not afraid to show emotion, not afraid after every play to really get together and as a team and also with the crowd. It really is a lot of fun. And I will tell you this as well. When I get done with a volleyball matchup, I am drained. Because you're using so much, like using a different language, because there's a lot of trial limit, but boy, there's an intensity for that match. So for the couple of hours that you're doing it, and it's really a lot.
It definitely sounds like it. Let me get to one other sports topic, and then we'll see what else you're covering on your program. But just this notion that Craig Counsell not only interviewed with the Mets, but now with the Cleveland Guardians, do you feel like he's just simply testing the markets and getting the best offer possible, or do you think Craig Counsell's on the way out at Milwaukee?
I heard you earlier say that the Brewers can't compete with the Mets when it comes to paying Craig Counsell. I disagree with that. The Brewers can't compete with the Mets if they want to get Ohtani. They can't compete with the Mets if they want to get Soto in a trade or something like that. They can compete with the Mets if they feel like Craig Counsell is that important to the success of the Milwaukee Brewers. I mean, because you're not paying him $50 million a year like Ohtani's going to get. If you want Craig Counsell, don't you blow him away with $10 million? If you think that he is the difference between the Brewers making the playoffs or not making the playoffs, which you will then make more than enough money by just getting to the first or second round of the playoffs, don't you think that the Brewers could compete financially if they show, hey, and also Craig Counsell, it's one of those things where, you know, if you've been, you know, with somebody for a long time, you got to show that they're still special. Don't want to feel like you're, you know, that they just feel like you're taken for granted. And I think maybe Craig Counsell says, hey, everybody says I'm not going anywhere. Well, even if I don't go anywhere, I'm going to make sure that they get a little nervous about this and show a little appreciation for what I've been able to do for the past decade.
Greg, is it just me or has Chad gone off on a tangent and we're doing marriage counseling here as well? Or is it
I
just...
have so many opinions. I just feel like, well, Chad, I just feel like I don't disagree with you. They could throw the money at Craig Counsell, but what is, like, I don't want first or second round. I want a ring. I'm tired of first and second round. I want a ring. Also,
again, back to marriage advice. Here you go. Put a ring on it.
If you are Craig Counsell and your former GM is at that team and they have more money and you have a working relationship with him, does it not behoove him to say, I'm going to go to the place where I got a guy who we want to do great things and we got an organization in a city who can do it?
I will say that with the Mets, it's either going to be incredible success or a complete dumpster fire.
I predict nothing but crash and burn just because it's the Mets. Whether it's the Mets or the Jets or whatever, or the, you know, the Knicks, that city has been so cursed for so long in some of its sports ways. But I
heard you talk about the Brewers. I mean, how many more hundreds of millions does Mr. Antanasio need from the state of Wisconsin before he's able to play?
I knew you were going to fold that into it next. See, it all comes together, doesn't it?
Pay him a market salary. Come on.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Pay him a market salary. He's a good coach. But at the end of the day, what are the Brewers going to bring to the city? What are the Brewers going to do for Craig? And how long will Mark hold on to that purse like it's just a year?
No, you're right. You're right. I mean, that's probably one of the biggest reasons why Counsell is actually listening, because, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, he could have the exact same feelings that Greg does, that, hey, I know that we're going to be pretty competitive every year, but will Mark Antanasio allow us to make that big move to get over the top? And, you know, maybe he's got questions on whether or not that's going to happen.
All right. Well, we'll. I'm sure this discussion will continue, and you can hear more from Chad about this on his own show on Bull Falls Radio, 8 to 10 a.m. weekday mornings. Check it out on Civic Media's app or website as well. Thank you, Chad. Have a great day.
You too, Pat.
All right. Appreciate it very much. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to have Melissa Baldoff with our weekly climate check. We will have Sherita Booker as well, telling us some of the most clicked on, most read, most watched stories on Up North News social media feeds. And we'll talk to educator Paul Ricken about American Indian Heritage Month, which starts tomorrow. Yeah, can't believe a new month, November, tomorrow. Remember, follow us all day long on the socials, Up North News WI. By and large, you can follow me on social media, at Pat Kreitlow or at Pat Kreitlow Up North on Facebook. I'm also getting busy on Threads and on Blue Sky. Remember, wherever you are, all of Wisconsin is America's true Up North. We're glad you could be up here for a little while on the lake with us. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll be right back.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.